Boy, let's unpack this. Today, we're diving into a company that has, well, astonishingly, been around since 1888.
Wow, 1888.
Yeah, the year the Eiffel Tower was under construction, Spirax Group started as, you know, a small importer of German steam traps.
Right.
And now, 135 years later, it's a FTSE 100 global leader in thermal energy management. I mean, that kind of longevity, surviving world wars, recessions, it just hints at something really special, often unseen in the industrial world.
Absolutely.
You've sent us this really comprehensive investment research analysis, and our mission today is to kind of extract the most important nuggets, the key insights from it. We want to help you quickly get up to speed on what makes this self-proclaimed best-in-class industrial compounder tick.
And what's truly profound here is that we're not just looking at an investment analysis, you know?
Mm.
It's more like a masterclass in corporate evolution.
Mm.
This company has navigated over a century of change, from the dawn of industrialization to, well, the age of AI. Today, we'll peel back the layers on how this industrial giant, born in the age of steam, is now actively shaping the future of global industries. We're talking energy efficiency, resource management, and that massive, urgent shift towards industrial decarbonization and digitalization.
Okay.
We'll explore their deep history, their surprisingly diverse business arms, their remarkable financial resilience, and precisely how they're strategically positioning themselves for, well, decades to come.
So let's start with the basics. Who is Spirax Group PLC, and why should anyone who's not, you know, deep in industrial engineering pay attention?
Good question.
Well, as I just mentioned, this isn't some fly-by-night startup. Imagine a company born when Queen Victoria was still on the throne.
Incredible context.
Evolving from that simple UK importer of German steam traps in 1888 to today being a key component of the UK's top stock market index, a FTSE 100 constituent.
Right, one of the UK's 100 largest public companies.
Exactly. They're now a global leader in thermal energy management and these niche pumping solutions. That's over 135 years of adapting, innovating, and staying at the absolute forefront of industrial needs. I mean, that kind of longevity is almost unheard of today, and it really speaks to their underlying strength, their ability to pivot.
It really does.
And speaking of pivots, one of the most visible recent developments was their rebranding. This wasn't just, you know, a name change on a document.
No, much more significant.
It was a deliberate strategic signal of a deeper transformation. In February 2024, shareholders approved it, completed in June. They officially changed their name from Spirax Sarco Engineering PLC to simply Spirax Group PLC.
And that old name caused confusion, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It often made it difficult for outsiders, maybe even cynically industry, to distinguish between the parent company and its biggest division, Spirax Sarco, which historically was all about steam. So the new identity, Spirax Group, better reflects its current structure. It's like a cohesive group of three distinct but highly synergistic world-leading businesses. We'll dive into those shortly.
Oh, yeah.
But most importantly, this rebranding strategically positions the company for a future where its electric thermal solutions business, ETS, plays an increasingly central role.
Right, looking forward.
It aligns the corporate identity with that forward-looking strategy focused on broader thermal energy solutions, well beyond just traditional steam. And underpinning all of this is their very clearly stated purpose: to engineer a more efficient, safer, and sustainable world.
Which connects everything.
Exactly. It's not just a tagline. It's a powerful mission connecting all their business segments and directly addressing those critical industrial customer needs, especially around decarbonization and resource efficiency. These are huge global challenges right now.
You know, the psychological shift this rebranding represents, especially for a company born in the 19th century, is really profound.
Mm-hmm.
Renaming to Spirax Group isn't just marketing fluff. It's like a declaration. They're actively shedding that legacy identity to become something new, a true thermal energy leader for the 21st century.
That's a great way to put it.
And this kind of intentional self-reinvention, particularly for a 135-year-old industrial giant so steeped in tradition, it gives you insight into visionary leadership that many companies, even, you know, agile tech startups, struggle with.
Sure.
It signals to customers, investors, even their own employees, that they are fundamentally committed to embracing new frontiers like electrification and broader sustainability, rather than just tweaking their existing successful model. It's really about securing relevance for the next 135 years.
Okay, so Spirax Group's operations are organized into these three highly aligned market-leading businesses. Let's break them down, starting with the one that gave the group its heritage and its original name.
Makes sense. The foundation.
First, we have steam thermal solutions, or STS. This is the foundational and still the largest segment of the group. STS is the undisputed global leader in controlling and managing industrial and commercial steam systems.
And steam is everywhere in industry.
Everywhere. Think about how many industrial processes rely on steam for heating, for curing materials, for cooking, cleaning, sterilizing, in everything from the food you eat to the chemicals we use to life-saving medicines.
Oh, crucial stuff.
Their comprehensive product portfolio includes everything from steam traps, which are critical, right? They remove condensate and non-condensable gases without wasting valuable steam.
Super important for efficiency.
Exactly. To advanced control systems, condensate management solutions, and other thermal energy management products. These might sound like small components, but they are absolutely essential for these processes to operate efficiently, safely, and reliably. They prevent costly downtime or even, you know, dangerous malfunctions.
Absolutely critical.
In fiscal year 2023, STS was still the powerhouse. It brought in over $900 million, which accounted for a significant 54% of the total group revenue.
Still the biggest piece.
Yep. And they operate a very successful dual brand strategy, leveraging the strength of their flagship Spirex Sarco brand, which is globally recognized, alongside the acquired Gestra brand, which specializes more in boiler house products and services.
So different niches within steam.
Exactly. Allows them to cater to slightly different market niches and expand their reach. Okay, moving on to the second pillar. And this is where we really see that strategic shift and future-proofing in action. Electric thermal solutions, or ETS.
A growth engine, potentially.
Very much the strategic growth pillar for the group, yeah. ETS provides advanced electrical process heating and temperature management solutions. Now, Spirex has made significant, bold strategic investments here. They dramatically scaled up this business through two key acquisitions back in 2022, Volcanic and Durex Industries.
Transformative acquisitions, those were. Not small bolt-ons.
Absolutely not. ETS is now a critical pillar of the group's future growth strategy, directly addressing that massive global trend of industrial electrification, which is being driven by, well, urgent decarbonization goals worldwide.
Right, the net zero push.
Exactly. In FY23, ETS contributed over $370 million in revenue, about 23% of the group total. And that figure reflects the full year impact of those crucial acquisitions, showing how quickly they've built this segment into a substantial contributor.
That's fast integration.
Yeah. The strategy within ETS is organized around several key brands. You've got Chromalox and Volcanic serving as the lead brands for broad industrial process heating and large-scale decarbonization solutions.
Okay.
Then you have Thermocoax and Durex Industries, which specialize in like ultra-critical, custom-designed heating solutions for highly specialized high-tech sectors. Think semiconductor manufacturing, aerospace, advanced medical devices.
So hitting both broad industry and high-tech niches.
Precisely. It demonstrates a focused approach to both broad industrial needs and those highly specialized, high-growth areas. And finally, the third pillar is Watson-Marlow Fluid Technology Solutions, or WMFTS. This is the precision specialist within the group.
Right, the pumps.
WMFTS is a world-leading specialist in peristaltic pumps and associated fluid path technologies. Now, for those unfamiliar, what exactly are peristaltic pumps?
Good question. They're quite unique.
Imagine a flexible tube passing through a pump casing, rollers or shoes inside the pump compress and sort of squeeze the tube, pushing the fluid forward.
Like squeezing a toothpaste tube, almost.
Kind of. The critical thing here is that the fluid is entirely contained within the tube and never actually touches the pump mechanism itself.
Which is key for purity.
Absolutely essential for applications demanding precise, sterile, and contamination-free fluid handling. Think pharmaceutical manufacturing where purity is paramount, biotech labs, or even delicate food processing where hygiene and accuracy are non-negotiable.
Makes sense.
In FY23, WMFTS generated over $390 million in revenue, also representing about 23% of the group total. So ETS and WMFTS are roughly the same size now.
Interesting balance.
This segment has significant exposure to the defensive and high-growth pharmaceutical and biotechnology or biopharm sector. Now, while this market was historically a major growth driver, it also introduced some, well, recent volatility.
Yeah, the destocking issue.
Exactly. Biopharm accounted for approximately 60% of WMFTS sales in 2022, but then it fell to around 50% in 2023. This dip was largely due to that significant post-pandemic inventory correction, as many biopharm customers had overstocked during the peak of COVID-19 demand, leading to a temporary hangover.
It's so important to understand how having these three distinct businesses, you know, despite some market overlaps and varied growth profiles, creates a much more resilient and future-proof company.
Yeah.
We saw this play out clearly in 2023, for instance, that biopharm volatility in WMFTS led to a significant organic sales decline there, minus 19%.
Yeah.
A company singularly focused on peristaltic pumps would have faced, well, a catastrophic earnings impact. But because Spirax has STS, which, remember, delivered an impressive 8% organic growth in that same challenging year.
Right. The steam business was solid.
It provided a critical profit and cash flow buffer. This isn't just diversification for its own sake. It's a strategic architecture. It allows them to absorb shocks for specific sectors or economic cycles, ensuring overall stability and enabling continued investment in strategic growth areas like ETS. It's like having multiple engines on a plane. If one falters, the others keep you flying steadily forward.
That's a great analogy. #TechTech3, geographic footprint and market exposure and sustainable business model. Okay, so beyond their individual segments, Spirax Group's resilience is, as you said, further fortified by its incredibly diverse geographic footprint and end market exposure. This isn't a company reliant on a single region or a single industry, which is, you know, a major de-risking factor in today's unpredictable global economy.
Absolutely key. Diversification matters.
They maintain a direct sales presence in an astounding 66 countries.
Wow.
Operate 37 manufacturing facilities globally and serve over 110,000 customers across 164 countries. I mean, that is truly a global enterprise.
It really is. Phenomenal reach.
Looking at their geographic breakdown from 2022, approximately half of their revenue came from Europe, the Middle East and Africa, or EMEA, about a quarter from North America, and the remainder from Asia Pacific and the rest of the world.
Pretty well balanced.
This broad geographical spread is absolutely critical because it helps mitigate risk from regional economic downturns. If one market is struggling due to local factors, another is likely to be stable or growing, balancing out the overall performance.
A natural hedge.
Exactly. Similarly, their end market exposure is exceptionally diversified. They span defensive sectors like food and beverage, which is a key area for their STS business, and pharmaceuticals and biotechnology, the core of WMFTS, as well as healthcare.
Industries that hold up well.
Right. Industries that tend to be less affected by economic cycles because their products and services are always in demand. But they also serve more economically sensitive sectors such as chemicals, oil and gas, and power generation.
So they get the upside too.
Exactly. This blend means they participate in growth when the economy is strong, but they also have a stable base of revenue when it's weaker.
You know, this multifaceted diversification is such a critical component of their stability. It's almost like an inherent shock absorber built into the business model.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a purely regional or single industry player. They'd be far more susceptible to localized economic crises or industry-specific slumps. Spirax's global reach and broad customer base provide a fundamental de-risking element, making their earnings stream much more predictable and stable over the long term. And what's often overlooked is how this extensive network also gives them unparalleled market intelligence.
Wow, good point.
They get a real-time pulse on global industrial health from the ground up, not just from abstract economic reports. They know what's happening on the factory floor.
Right.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting and where we find the cornerstone, really, of Spirax Group's investment case. It's remarkably resilient and sustainable business model defined by recurring revenue.
This is the secret sauce, arguably.
This is a powerful differentiator. It's almost like they've built themselves less like a manufacturer and more like, I don't know, a utility or even a software subscription service for factories.
That's a good way to think about it.
Approximately 85% of the group's revenue is generated from customers' recurring operating expenditure or OPEX budgets.
85%?
Yeah. To put that in perspective, this revenue stream comes from the essential maintenance, repair, and operation, or MRO, of the group's vast installed base of products.
Keeping things running.
It's about keeping existing systems running, efficient and compliant, as well as small efficiency-improving projects. These aren't discretionary purchases that get cut during tough times. They are non-negotiable costs for customers to maintain production and avoid costly downtime. Things like replacing worn parts, carrying out preventative maintenance, or optimizing energy usage.
Stuff you just have to do.
Right. In stark contrast, only about 15% of their sales are tied to larger, more cyclical capital expenditure, or CapEx, projects, new plant construction, or major expansion.
The big projects that get delayed.
Exactly. Those are the kinds of big ticket investments companies often defer or cancel when economic uncertainty bites. This incredibly high proportion of non-discretionary OPEX-driven revenue provides the group with an exceptionally stable and predictable stream of earnings and cash flow. It enables it to perform consistently through various economic cycles, acting as a powerful foundation against market volatility.
It's huge.
This business model actually creates what they call a powerful virtuous cycle, or a flywheel.
Ah, yes, the flywheel.
Here's how it works. First, SpearAxe builds a large and ever-growing installed base of its mission-critical products within customer facilities worldwide.
Step one, get the kit in there.
Step two, this installed base then generates a continuous flow of high-margin aftermarket sales and service revenue as those products inevitably need maintenance, spare parts, or upgrades.
The recurring revenue stream kicks in.
Step three, this predictable and robust cash flow, in turn, funds their extensive direct sales engineering force and their robust R&D programs.
Fueling the engine.
Step four, these investments in the sales force and R&D not only reinforce the group's competitive moat, but also drive the sale of new products and solutions, often developed based on customer insights from those very sales engineers.
Innovation driven by real needs.
And step five, these new product sales further expand the installed base, kicking off the cycle all over again, leading to even more future recurring revenue streams. This self-perpetuating cycle is a key driver of their long-term compounding growth, effectively building on itself year after year.
The true genius of this 85% recurring revenue figure for an industrial company isn't just about stability. It's about strategic optionality.
Right.
Most industrial companies are heavily exposed to the swings of CapEx cycles, making their revenues highly volatile.
Yeah.
But SpearAxe's model, as you rightly noted, is more like a subscription service embedded within the industrial fabric. Customers aren't just buying a product. They're entering into a long-term relationship for essential upkeep and efficiency that they cannot afford to cut. This exceptional cash flow predictability allows SpearAxe to plan its substantial investments in R&D and strategic acquisitions with far greater confidence, even during downturns. It's a strategic shield that allows them to play offense when others are forced onto defense.
Yeah, that's a powerful position to be in. Hashtag tag 5B, industry dynamics and the SpearAxe advantage. Competitive moat. So, okay, we've got this global company with a deeply entrenched, resilient business model driven by recurring revenue. But what's happening in the broader market? How does SpearAxe manage to maintain its competitive edge in such a dynamic and, frankly, increasingly challenging industrial environment?
Well, delving deeper into that point, SpearAxe operates at the intersection of several large and growing industrial markets. And crucially, they're supported by powerful long-term secular trends.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't just reacting to market shifts. They're proactively shaping their future within these dynamics, positioning themselves to capitalize on the biggest industrial changes of our time. It's really a testament to their incredible foresight and adaptability.
Okay, let's look at that market landscape they navigate. First, the thermal management market. This broad market, which includes solutions for heat dissipation in everything from powerful electronics to data centers and industrial applications, it's experiencing robust growth.
Huge growth there, yeah.
Market research projects it to grow at a compound annual growth rate, a CAGR, of 6-10%. It's expected to reach an estimated $25-28 billion by the early 2030s.
Driven by?
Well, increasing power density in our devices, the rapid proliferation of data centers that need to stay cool, and the massive global shift to electric vehicles, all of which require more sophisticated thermal management solutions.
Makes sense. Everything's getting hotter.
Then there's the industrial steam systems market. Now, while this is a more mature market, it's certainly not stagnant. It continues to show steady growth. Estimates project a CAGR of 3.5% to 5.2%, reaching a global size of around $23-25 billion by 2032.
Still growing steadily, then.
Yeah, this growth is driven by ongoing industrialization in emerging economies, where new plants are still being built, and the persistent need for energy efficiency upgrades and system optimization in developed markets. Companies are constantly looking to cut costs, reduce their carbon footprint, and improve sustainability.
Always room for improvement in steam.
And finally, a significant tailwind for SpearAxe is the broader industrial automation market. This market for industrial automation and control systems is vast and expanding rapidly. It's projected to exceed $300 billion by 2030, growing at an impressive CAGR of 8-11%.
Massive market.
And SpearAxe's products, whether they're steam components, electric heating elements, or precision peristaltic pumps, they are integral components for process automation and optimization across countless industries. As factories become smarter, more interconnected, more automated, the demand for precise and reliable control components like SpearAxe's will only increase.
It's fascinating how these market outlooks powerfully validate Spearac's diversified strategy. They really aren't putting all their eggs in one basket, are they?
Not at all.
They're leveraging the steady, foundational growth of steam, capturing the high-growth, transformative potential of electric thermal solutions, and capitalizing on the precision demands and specialized fluid handling, all while benefiting from the overarching trend of industrial automation. This strategic spread ensures multiple avenues for growth and a more balanced exposure to various market dynamics, making them much less susceptible to the cyclical nature of any single industry.
Right. Beyond these market segments, Spearac is also exceptionally well-positioned to capitalize on three truly transformative megatrends that are reshaping the industrial world right now.
Okay, the big ones.
First, industrial decarbonization and electrification. The global imperative for achieving net zero carbon emissions is driving a generational shift. We're seeing a clear and accelerating trend away from traditional fossil fuel-fired boilers towards cleaner, electric-powered solutions for industrial heat.
A huge structural shift.
Spearac's aggressive expansion of its electric thermal solutions, or ETS, business is a direct and powerful play on this multi-decade transition. They are strategically positioning themselves as a key enabler of industrial electrification, helping their customers transition away from fossil fuels and significantly reduce their carbon footprint, which is becoming, you know, non-negotiable for many industries and regulators.
We're riding that wave.
Second, there's digitalization and Industry 4.0. This is all about the convergence of IT and operational technology, essentially revolutionizing manufacturing.
Getting factories smarter.
Exactly. It involves integrating the Internet of Things, IoT, artificial intelligence, AI, and advanced data analytics for real-time monitoring, predictive maintenance, and process optimization, all driving significant efficiency gains and cost savings. And Spearac isn't just sitting back. They are actively participating in this trend with digitally connected products.
Like what?
Think about their wireless steam trap monitors that provide real-time data on system performance, or their GSX PID controllers, which are advanced digital controllers for optimizing industrial processes. They also offer data-driven services like Steam Insight services, demonstrating their commitment to leveraging digital tools to enhance customer value and efficiency.
So embedding intelligence.
And third, resource efficiency. Driven by both regulation and economic necessity, customers across all industries are increasingly focused on reducing their consumption of energy and water. This is actually the core, long-standing value proposition of Spearac's STS business.
Been doing this for years.
Through comprehensive steam system audits and applying their advanced products, Spearac helps customers identify and eliminate waste, directly improving their operational efficiency and reducing their environmental footprint. So, while decarbonization is a newer megatrend, resource efficiency has been at the heart of what Spearac does for a very long time, demonstrating their enduring relevance.
You know, the ability of a company with over 135 years of history to stay at the forefront of such modern technological and environmental shifts is remarkable. It's a real testament to their adaptability and strategic foresight.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't discarded their legacy. Instead, they've evolved it. Their deep understanding of thermal processes, originally through steam, now translates directly to electric thermal solutions. Furthermore, their existing customer relationships provide a direct, trusted channel to understand the evolving needs of industries grappling with these megatrends. It's a powerful example of how foundational knowledge, when combined with strategic investment and a willingness to change, can ensure long-term relevance and leadership.
Okay, now let's talk about their wide and durable competitive moat. What makes Spearac Group exceptionally difficult for competitors to replicate and helps maintain their market leadership and superior profitability?
The moat. This is key.
Their primary and arguably most formidable advantage is the direct sales force. This is not an exaggeration. Spearac employs a global force of over 2,100 sales and service engineers.
2,100.
Yeah. To put that in perspective, this is estimated to be approximately 10 times larger than their nearest competitor.
10 times. That's incredible.
What's crucial here is that these are not conventional salespeople just trying to hit quarterly quotas. They are highly qualified technical experts, many with engineering degrees, even doctorates, who act as trusted consultants to their customers.
Problem solvers, not just sellers.
Exactly. They literally walk the plant with clients, getting their hands dirty, diagnosing complex problems with thermal energy and fluid systems, and providing bespoke, highly specialized solutions. This direct problem-solving approach builds deep, long-lasting, and incredibly sticky customer relationships, because they're seen as essential partners, not just vendors.
You trust the person fixing your critical system.
Totally. Imagine you're a plant manager with a critical system malfunctioning. You don't want a generic salesperson. You want a Spirax engineer who knows your equipment, your process, and can solve the problem on the spot. And here's the truly impressive part. This unique model allows Spirax to self-generate approximately 40% of its revenue.
How do they do that?
They do this by proactively identifying efficiency improvements and cost-saving opportunities that customers were often unaware of, effectively creating their own demand rather than just reacting to it.
Wow, creating demand. That's powerful.
Next, we have their brand, reputation, and technical expertise. With over 135 years of heritage, the Spirax Sarco brand is globally recognized and synonymous with quality, reliability, and expertise in steam systems. This long-standing reputation for excellence, backed by a portfolio of proprietary technology and patents, creates immense brand equity and a high degree of customer trust.
Trust built over a century.
When you're dealing with mission-critical industrial applications where downtime can cost millions per hour, reliability matters above all else, making Spirax Sarco the default trusted choice.
You pay for that reliability.
Their global scale and distribution network also provides a significant advantage. With a direct presence in 66 countries and 37 strategically located manufacturing sites, they can offer localized technical support and ensure rapid product availability. For many customers, where production continuity is paramount, the ability to provide same-day delivery for critical components is a key differentiator that commands pricing power.
Speed is crucial in MRO.
A broken steam trap or pump can halt an entire production line, so having a local expert with the right part immediately is invaluable, and that's a service few can match at scale.
Huge advantage.
And finally, this direct sales force also functions as an invaluable real-time market intelligence network.
The feedback loop.
By being on-site with customers across dozens of industries every single day, these engineers gain unparalleled insight into emerging operational challenges and unmet needs. This direct feedback loop is far more potent than traditional market research. It allows Spirax to steer its R&D efforts towards developing highly relevant and practical solutions that customers genuinely need and will pay for. This insight-driven innovation ensures their R&D investment is highly effective, leading to a pipeline of new products with strong market demand and reinforcing the company's technological leadership.
You know, what's truly ingenious is how that direct sales force isn't just a cost center, but a powerful multifunctional asset. It drives revenue, informs R&D, and deepens customer loyalty all at once. Mm-hmm. This human capital and relationship-based moat is arguably their most enduring and valuable asset, creating significant barriers to entry that are almost impossible for competitors to overcome. Trying to replicate that network of 2,100 highly specialized engineers, the decades of trust, the embedded relationships, it would require billions of dollars and decades in effort. It's not just about selling products. It's about solving problems and becoming an indispensable, irreplaceable partner in industrial efficiency.
So their competitive landscape includes a mix of large, diversified industrial conglomerates. Names like IMI Pilfeet-Weitze, Rotork, Weir Group, Smith's Group, Emerson Electric, and smaller, specialized players.
A mix of big and small guys.
But in its core steam thermal solutions business, Spirax is the undisputed global market leader. While competitors might offer individual products, none can match Spirax's comprehensive system-level expertise, the sheer scale of its direct service network, or its singular focus on steam.
Unmatched in steam.
Similarly, in the niche market for peristaltic pumps, Watson-Marlow is also the clear global leader. And financially, Spirax has consistently demonstrated superior profitability, with adjusted operating margins typically above 20%. That's a clear hallmark of its strong competitive positioning and pricing power that few peers can match.
Indeed. The markets Spirax operates in have significant barriers to entry, capital investment, technical expertise, regulations. But, as you rightly highlighted, the most profound barrier is the near impossibility of replicating that direct sales and service network.
Yeah.
A new entrant would need billions and decades to build a comparable force and, more importantly, cultivate the deep-seated trust Spirax has earned. This human capital and relationship-based moat is their most enduring asset, making it incredibly difficult for even well-funded competitors to challenge their dominance.
Okay, let's turn to the numbers then. The 2022-2024 period was one of the most dynamic in Spirax Group's recent history. We saw significant macroeconomic challenges, strategic actions, leadership transitions. So how did the financials hold up, and what do they tell us about the company's underlying resilience?
Well, this 3-year window really powerfully illustrates the robustness of their business model. Despite navigating substantial external pressures, everything from post-pandemic hangovers to global slowdowns, the underlying health and strategic direction of the company shine through. It's a real-world stress test, frankly, that many companies wouldn't pass with such relative stability. It shows how that diversification provides a critical buffer.
Okay, let's look at the revenue trajectory and key drivers. After a period of really strong growth, revenue increased from around $1.2 billion in 2020 to $1.68 billion in 2023. Then the top line stabilized at about $1.67 billion in 2024.
The strong growth in a plateau.
Fiscal year 2022 was a standout year, showing strong momentum. The group delivered reported revenue growth of 20%, with an impressive 14% organic growth. That's growth excluding acquisitions or currency effects.
14% organic is very strong.
Yeah. This performance was driven by robust volume increases across all divisions and effective price management to offset significant cost inflation. Critically, all three of their businesses, STS, ETS, and WMFTS, outgrew their respective underlying markets, showcasing broad-based strength.
Firing on all cylinders in 22.
However, fiscal year 2023 proved to be a more challenging year, largely defined by those specific end market headwinds we talked about. While reported revenue still grew by 4.5% to $1.68 billion, this was primarily due to the full-year consolidation of the Volcanic and Durex acquisitions.
Ah, so acquisitions flattered the number.
Exactly. On an organic basis, revenue actually saw a slight decline of 1%. This was set against a difficult macroeconomic backdrop, where global industrial production, IP, growth was a mere 0.3%.
Tough environment.
The primary driver of this organic decline was that sharp 19% contraction in the Watson-Marlow or WMFTS segment. That was the biopharm inventory destocking cycle hitting hard.
Minus 19%. That really dried it down.
In stark contrast, the core Steam Thermal Solutions, STS, business demonstrated remarkable resilience, posting an impressive 8% organic growth in the same tough environment. ETS grew a modest 2% organically, impacted by a slowdown in the key semiconductor sector.
So STS really held the fort.
But then fiscal year 2024 brought a welcome year of stabilization and recovery. The group returned to positive organic growth of 4%, once again outperforming a still weak global IP environment of 1.7%.
Back to growth. Good sign.
This recovery was led by a strong performance in ETS, which grew 10% organically as operational improvements and integration benefits from the acquisitions began to take hold.
ETS starting to deliver.
Watson-Marlow also returned to positive territory with 3% organic growth, signaling the worst of the biopharm destocking was finally over. The STS segment grew 1% organically, which was solid given a very strong prior year comparison and some specific project weakness in China.
Okay, so a broad recovery picture in 24.
Yeah,
the 2023 results, while challenging, powerfully illustrate the strategic benefit of the group's diversified 3-business structure. A standalone company experiencing WMFTS's 19% organic sales decline would have faced a catastrophic earnings collapse.
Absolutely.
But for Spirax, the exceptional resilience of the STS business, which not only held its own but grew 8% organically in that same tough macro environment, provided that critical profit and cash flow buffer. This stability allowed the group to absorb the shock from the biopharm downturn while continuing to invest in its long-term strategic priorities, like integrating and growing ETS. It truly highlights the value of having multiple diversified revenue streams.
Right. Moving to profitability and margin evolution, Spirax has this long-standing reputation for best-in-class profitability, right? Adjusted operating margins historically ranging from the low to mid-20s. It's a hallmark of their quality.
Very strong margins typically.
However, in 2023, the group's adjusted operating margin experienced a significant compression. It fell by almost 3 full percentage points from 23.6% in 2022 down to 20.7%.
That's a noticeable drop.
Crucially, though, this wasn't due to a broad-based operational issue across the entire company, but rather an adverse mix impact.
The mix effect again. Explain that.
The sharp revenue decline was concentrated in the Watson-Marlow biopharm business, which happens to be one of the group's highest margin activities. So the collapse in sales from this highly profitable segment disproportionately impacted the group's overall margin profile.
So less high-profit sales dragged the average down.
Exactly. This was clearly visible in the WMFTS segment's statutory operating margin, which fell sharply by over 11 percentage points from 31.6% in 2022 down to 20.6% in 2023.
Wow, that's a huge hit to that division's profitability.
Fortunately, in 2024, the adjusted operating margin stabilized. It improved by a modest 0.1% on an organic basis. The reported margin of 20.1% was slightly affected by adverse foreign exchange movements, but the underlying trend was positive.
Stabilized.
Okay.
The margin improvement in the ETS segment was a particularly notable positive, demonstrating clear progress in the integration of its recent acquisitions and a return to healthier profitability in that strategic growth area.
It's absolutely crucial for investors and analysts to distinguish between a mixed impact and a fundamental operational problem when assessing profitability.
Why is that distinction so important?
Well, a mixed impact, like the one Spearax experienced, suggests that the underlying operational health of the other parts of the business remains strong and margins should recover as that adverse mix normalizes. If it were a broad operational problem, say escalating costs or pricing pressure across all segments, the path to recovery would be much more challenging.
Right.
In Spearax's case, the strong performance of STS offsetting the WMFTS decline points to the resilience of their other operations. It gives confidence that the overall group margin will rebound as WMFTS recovers and ETS continues to grow profitably. It's not a fundamental breakdown.
Got it. Okay, let's discuss cash flow generation and balance sheet strength. Spearax is fundamentally a highly cash generative business, right? Which is a key characteristic of these high quality companies and a major reason why it's considered a compounder.
Cash is king, especially for compounders.
After a temporary dip in cash conversion in 2022 down to 57%,
right,
which management attributed to record capital investments in new manufacturing capacity and deliberately rebuilding inventory post-pandemic.
Yeah, investing for growth.
Adjusted cash conversion recovered strongly. It rebounded to an excellent 81% in 2023 and improved even further to 87% in 2024, well ahead of their guidance.
Strong bounce back in cash conversion.
This demonstrates disciplined working capital management and the underlying strength of the business to convert its earnings into cash, even when profits face headwinds. This strong recovery in cash flow, even as reported profits were under pressure, serves as a leading indicator of management's firm operational control and the robust health of the business.
Very healthy sign.
Their balance sheet also remains robust and provides significant financial flexibility. Net debt increased substantially in 2022 to fund those strategic Volcanic and Durex acquisitions.
Took on debt for the deals.
With the leverage ratio, net debt to EBITDA, peaking at a still conservative 1.7 times. This shows they didn't overextend themselves.
1.7x is quite manageable.
Crucially, strong cash generation has since been used to delever. Net debt fell to around $667 million at the end of 2023 and further to $596 million by the end of 2024. The debt-to-equity ratio also stood at a manageable 84.8% at year-end 2023, indicating a healthy financial position.
What's truly impressive here is how their ability to generate strong cash flow, even when profits were temporarily under pressure, allowed them to quickly deleverage after making those major strategic acquisitions.
Right. Pay down the debt quickly.
It showcases exceptional financial discipline and robust underlying business health. Many companies struggle with post-acquisition debt burdens for years, but Spearax's consistent cash engine provided the flexibility to pay down debt rapidly, reducing financial risk and positioning them for future investments. It's a textbook example of how a strong balance sheet and powerful cash flow provide strategic optionality and resilience, especially when making bold moves.
Finally, let's touch on returns on capital. Historically, the group has generated high returns on capital, a clear hallmark of its quality and strong competitive advantages.
A key quality indicator.
For 2023, the reported return on equity, ROE, was a respectable 16.17%, and the trailing 12-month return on invested capital, ROIC, was 9.59%.
Healthy, but maybe not peak levels.
Exactly. While these are healthy returns for an industrial company, they are indeed below the group's historical peaks. This reflects two factors. First, the temporary pressure on profitability in 2023 due to the biopharm destocking, and second, the significant increase in the capital base following the large debt-funded acquisitions in 2022.
Right, bigger denominator in the calculation.
It naturally takes time for these substantial investments to fully mature and contribute to profits. However, these return metrics are expected to trend back towards their historically higher levels as the ETS segment's profitability improves and the group continues its disciplined process of delevering.
This raises an important point for long-term investors. A strategic decision to make large debt-funded acquisitions will temporarily impact return metrics, but it's actually setting the stage for significantly higher returns in the future as those investments mature and synergies are realized.
A trade-off.
It's a short-term trade-off for long-term gain. Investors often need to look past the immediate impact of such strategic moves and consider the expanded addressable market, the new growth vectors, and the enhanced competitive position these acquisitions bring. As ETS integrates further, scales, and improves its margins, the capital deployed in 2022 should generate significantly higher returns, justifying the temporary dip in the group's overall return on capital metrics. It's about planting seeds for future harvests.
Yeah, makes sense. Hashtag tag, tag, tagged by Lex. Growth strategy and capital allocation discipline. So, okay, what's the roadmap for SpireX Group moving forward? They've just navigated this challenging period, made big strategic pivots with ETS and the rebranding. Let's delve into their Together for Growth strategy.
Right, where are they heading now? And what's fascinating here is that this strategy isn't some radical departure. It's more of an evolution, focused on leveraging their historical strengths while proactively positioning them for future opportunities. It's about disciplined and deliberate growth, ensuring new initiatives are built upon that solid foundation they've established over 135 years, rather than abandoning it.
Okay. Their Together for Growth strategy is built on three core pillars designed to be mutually reinforcing.
Three of them.
The first pillar is leveraging strengths and scale. This involves simplifying organizational structures to better harness the combined scale and capabilities of their three distinct businesses. The goal is to drive synergies and efficiency while, crucially, preserving their critical local direct-to-customer presence, that moat we discussed.
So be big but act local.
Exactly. They want to be big and efficient but still operate with that essential personalized technical touch. The second pillar is delivering more customer value. This augments the physical walk-the-plant capabilities of its sales engineers, that invaluable in-person, on-site problem-solving with digital tools and data analytics to enable them to walk the data.
Ah, combining boots on the ground with data smarts.
Right. This aims to deepen customer insights, anticipate needs more effectively, and deliver more sophisticated data-driven solutions. It's about combining unparalleled human expertise with cutting-edge technological prowess, making their service even more indispensable.
Enhancing the moat.
The third pillar is leading the energy transition. This pillar explicitly positions the group to lead in industrial decarbonization by combining the expertise of its steam and electric thermal businesses. The goal is to offer complete integrated solutions for electrifying industrial heat, providing a full journey for customers looking to achieve net zero emissions.
Bringing STS and ETS together.
This is where their heritage truly meets their future. Their overarching financial ambition that underpins this strategy is to deliver sustainable mid to high single-digit organic revenue growth and achieve mid-20s adjusted operating margins through the economic cycle.
Ambitious but clear targets. It's clear how these pillars reinforce each other and align with those massive secular trends we discussed earlier, creating a truly holistic approach to growth. The Walk the Data initiative, for instance, perfectly enhances their already formidable direct sales force moat, effectively future-proofing it for Industry 4.0. It's not just about selling more products, it's about making their sales force even more effective, more data-driven, and therefore even more indispensable to customers. By combining digital insights with their on-the-ground technical expertise, they create an even stronger, harder-to-replicate competitive advantage, ensuring they remain at the absolute forefront of customer solutions as industries digitalize.
Okay, so organic growth remains the primary engine of value creation for SpireX, even with those significant acquisitions. They're not relying solely on buying growth, they're cultivating it from within.
It needs to come from the core business, too.
Central to this is their consistent commitment to R&D and innovation. The group maintains a consistent commitment to R&D, annual spending in the range of $18-20 million in 2022-2023, about 1.1-1.2% of sales.
Seems modest, but focused.
Exactly. It might seem like a modest percentage compared to some tech companies, but this investment is sharply focused on developing products that align with those key secular trends we discussed. Their innovation pipeline includes digitally connected products like the wireless steam trap monitors and the next-gen GSX range of PID controllers, all designed to provide customers with better data and control to enhance sustainability.
Smart, targeted innovation.
A key area of innovation and internal synergy is the Target Zero suite of decarbonization solutions. This includes ElectroFit, which helps retrofit existing systems with electric heaters, SteamVolt for new electric boilers, and the steam battery for energy storage.
Practical solutions for electrification.
These were co-developed by the STS and ETS businesses, providing a clear, integrated pathway for customers to electrify steam generation and significantly reduce their carbon footprint.
Great example of synergy.
And then we have self-generated growth, which is intrinsically linked to their direct sales force model. As we highlighted, by embedding highly qualified technical experts with customers, SpireX is able to proactively identify and solve efficiency problems that customers often don't even realize they have. This enables them to consistently generate growth well ahead of underlying industrial production, effectively creating their own demand rather than just capturing existing market share. That's a huge competitive advantage.
That Target Zero initiative really exemplifies not just strategic R&D, but also powerful internal synergy. It demonstrates their ability to leverage established steam expertise to pioneer solutions in the emerging electric thermal market, effectively guiding their customers through the energy transition.
Right.
They're not just offering electric alternatives. They're offering an integrated, expert-led journey from traditional steam to electrified solutions, cementing their role as a critical partner in the decarbonization effort. This cross-segment collaboration is key to their future growth, showcasing how they're using their deep heritage to build their future.
Now, the 2022-2024 period was significantly marked by that decisive and transformative inorganic growth strategy, specifically focused on building a world-leading electric thermal solutions business. This was a truly bold move, really shifting the company's center of gravity.
A big ETS push.
In the second half of 2022, SpireX completed two major acquisitions, Volcanic and Durex Industries. They acquired Volcanic, a European leader in industrial electric heating solutions, for over $260 million. Shortly after, they acquired Durex International, a U.S.-based specialist in custom electric thermal solutions, for over $340 million. These were not small opportunistic purchases. They represented a significant chunk of capital.
Big bets.
The strategic rationale behind these acquisitions was clear and deliberate. They were a fundamental move to strengthen the ETS business. The acquisitions were highly complementary, providing ETS with enhanced scale, a broader technology portfolio, and a more balanced geographic footprint.
Filling gaps, building scale.
Durex, for instance, brought deep expertise and a strong recurring revenue base with original equipment manufacturers, or OEMs, particularly in the high-growth semiconductor sector. Volcanic, on the other hand, provided leadership in the European industrial market. Together, they formed a formidable new pillar for SpireX's future growth.
Makes strategic sense.
The long-term impact of these acquisitions represents a fundamental evolution of SpireX's business model. The company is strategically deploying the robust cash flows from its mature and highly profitable steam business to build a leadership position in the high-growth industrial electrification market.
Using the cash cow to fund the star.
Exactly. This positions SpireX not merely as a defender of its legacy business, but as a key enabler of the multi-decade energy transition. It allows the group to offer customers a complete decarbonization journey, from optimizing existing steam systems to implementing a full-scale transition to electric thermal energy, making it a one-stop-shop strategic partner for industrial sustainability.
A very compelling proposition.
And the integration progress has been encouraging. Management has consistently reported that the integration of both businesses is progressing well. The strong 10% organic growth and margin improvement delivered by the ETS segment in 2024 provides tangible evidence that operational improvements and synergies are being successfully realized, which is critical for such large acquisitions to pay off.
Good to see early signs of success there. These significant acquisitions truly demonstrate how a mature, successful company can proactively reinvent itself and ensure future relevance by making bold, strategic capital allocation decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a textbook example of leveraging existing strength, that reliable, cash-generating steam business, to capture new, future-oriented growth. This isn't just about diversification. It's about a calculated transformation that future-proofs the business by aligning it with the most powerful long-term industrial trends, ensuring its continued leadership in thermal energy solutions.
Okay. And SpireX Group adheres to a clear and disciplined capital allocation framework and shareholder returns, which outlines how they prioritize their financial resources, basically their spending playbook.
Always important to know the priorities.
Their first priority is to invest in organic growth. This means consistently reinvesting in the business through R&D to fuel innovation and capital expenditure to modernize and expand manufacturing capacity. Recent major CapEx projects include new facilities for Watson-Marlow in Devens, Massachusetts, and for Chromalox in Ogden, Utah, showing tangible commitment to scaling operations for future demand.
Feeding the core business first.
The second priority is to pursue value-accretive acquisitions. These are strategic, bolt-on acquisitions that align with group strategy and meet strict financial criteria, as powerfully demonstrated by the ETS acquisitions of Volcanic and Durex. They're not just buying for the sake of it, they're buying strategically to strengthen their competitive position and market reach.
Disciplined M&A.
And the third, and a defining priority for the group, is the payment of a progressive dividend. Spirax boasts one of the most impressive dividend track records in the entire UK market, having delivered an astonishing 56 consecutive years of annual dividend growth.
56 years.
Yes.
That's incredible consistency.
This commitment was maintained even through the challenging 2023-2024 period, with increases of 5% and 3% respectively, showcasing its resilience and unwavering commitment to shareholders even in tougher times.
Wow. That extraordinary dividend record isn't just a financial statistic. It's a powerful cultural indicator. It signals disciplined, long-term capital allocation and a deep-seated commitment to shareholder returns that has been embedded in the company for over half a century.
Yeah.
It signals a management team that balances aggressive growth investments with a consistent, reliable return to shareholders, fostering immense trust and long-term stability. This kind of track record is incredibly rare and speaks volumes about the underlying quality and predictability of their business model. #Hashtag take us Evan. Recent developments, challenges, and management.
Okay. The 2022-2024 period was certainly dynamic, filled with both strategic moves and external pressures. Beyond those big acquisitions, what other significant challenges did Spirax Group face, and how did their leadership navigate this complex environment?
Well, it's often when a company performs under pressure that its true character is revealed, isn't it?
True.
This period was a significant stress test for Spirax, with external macroeconomic headwinds coinciding with major internal strategic shifts and a complete leadership transition. It's a compelling case study in corporate resilience and adaptation, really showing what they're made of.
Okay, let's look at the macroeconomic headwinds they navigated, starting with the biggest one, the biopharm destocking. That was the most significant operational challenge.
Yeah, that hit WMFTS hard.
Following unprecedented demand during COVID-19, customers in the biopharm end market aggressively destocked throughout 2023, severely impacting the Watson-Marlow segment. Management candidly noted that the anticipated recovery in the second half of 2023 didn't materialize because of higher than expected excess inventory in the system.
Took longer to clear out than expected.
However, by 2024, the company reported early signs of improving demand and order intake, suggesting the destocking cycle had finally bottomed out. This was described as a painful but necessary clearing event that has likely de-risked the segment for the medium term by normalizing the inventory channel, getting them back to a healthier baseline.
If hopefully the worst is over there.
Beyond biopharm, the semiconductor and industrial slowdown also presented challenges. The ETS business faced a cyclical downturn in the semiconductor market in 2023, which particularly affected the newly acquired Durex and their existing Thermocoax businesses.
Right. Semis are notoriously cyclical.
A broader weakening of global industrial production also impacted the STS business, especially in China's project-based market in 2024.
So headwinds across multiple fronts.
And finally, like the broader industrial sector, Spirax navigated significant inflation and supply chain pressures. They demonstrated strong operational management by successfully implementing price increases to protect their margins.
Passed on cost increases.
A notable example was their proactive response to the nickel price spike following the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Instead of simply accepting the disruption, they worked collaboratively with 20 key foundry suppliers, flexing pricing contracts and shortening payment terms to ensure supply stability and support their critical partners. This wasn't just about managing costs. It was about protecting their operational continuity and their supply chain.
That's interesting. The company's detailed response to the nickel price spike isn't just a supply chain story. It's a powerful indicator of their deep, collaborative relationships with suppliers.
Mm.
That forms another subtle but crucial part of their competitive moat. Their ability to maintain operational continuity, even in a crisis, by working closely with partners and flexing terms, speaks to the strength of their ecosystem and their long-term trust-based approach to business relationships. This kind of resilience is built over decades, not overnight. and it's something many companies struggle to replicate.
Good point. Now, this period also coincided with significant strategic and leadership transition within the company, making it even more complex. It's like changing the pilots in mid-flight during a storm.
Yeah, a lot happening at once.
The strategic rebranding to Spirax Group in 2024, which we discussed, was accompanied by the announcement of the group's first major restructuring program. This program aims to consolidate manufacturing and streamline the organization to deliver approximately £35 million in annualized savings, which will then be strategically reinvested to fund future organic growth.
Optimizing operations for the new strategy.
It's about optimizing their operational footprint for the new strategic direction, making them leaner and more agile. Critically, the group has also undergone a complete refresh of its most senior leadership roles, marking the end of a highly successful era and the beginning of a new one. Nicholas Anderson, who led the group through a decade of exceptional growth as group CEO, retired in January 2024.
End of an era there.
He was succeeded by Nimesh Patel, who had served as the group's CFO since 2020, ensuring continuity while bringing a fresh perspective. Following Nimesh Patel's promotion, Louisa Burdett was appointed as the new Chief Financial Officer in July 2024, bringing extensive experience from other major UK-listed industrial companies.
New CFO.
And Jamie Pike, the long-serving board chair, stepped down at the end of 2024. He was succeeded on January 1st, 2025 by Tim Cobbold, who has extensive CEO and board experience at other prominent companies. So it's a completely new senior team at the helm.
Wow. This confluence of a cyclical downturn, major strategic acquisitions, and a complete leadership change, it creates a period of heightened execution risks. Any one of these factors alone would be significant, but together they represent a considerable challenge. However, it also provides the new leadership team with a clear mandate and opportunity to drive a strategic reset and accelerate the group's evolution. The next 12-24 months will truly be a critical inflection point for the company as the market watches how this new team executes the Together for Growth strategy amidst these various pressures. It's an exciting, if challenging, time for Spirax.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, let's look at their operational excellence and governance.
The nuts and bolts.
In response to the 2023 headwinds, management demonstrated impressive agility by implementing early restructuring actions and cost containment measures, which helped to partially mitigate the impact on operating margins. This proactive approach, rather than waiting for things to get worse, is a clear sign of strong operational management.
Didn't wait around. Good management.
Yeah. Spirax is also making tangible investments in its digital transformation capabilities to enhance both operational efficiency and customer engagement. The company has launched a new global web platform using Sitecore to support complex customer journeys across 49 operating companies and 23 languages.
Modernizing the front end.
They've also implemented Oracle's Commerce and Configure Price, quote, CPQ software to streamline their B2B sales processes and empower customers with self-service capabilities. This is about making it easier for customers to do business with them and improving internal efficiencies, bringing their analog strengths into a digital age.
Important upgrades.
And in terms of corporate governance, Spirax is committed to high standards, adhering to the 2018 UK Corporate Governance Code. The board has a well-defined structure with clear responsibilities and 5 dedicated committees: audit, colleague engagement, nomination, remuneration, and risk management.
Standard good practice.
They also demonstrate a strong commitment to diversity, with female representation reaching 45.5% at the end of 2024, increasing to 50% in January 2025, highlighting their progressive approach to leadership and inclusion.
It's particularly insightful to see how this focus on digital transformation, even for a deeply industrial company, is about enhancing their core strengths. Things like customer service, efficiency, market intelligence for the modern age. It's not just adopting a trendy buzzword.
Right.
By streamlining B2B sales and providing self-service options, they're making their unique value proposition even more accessible and efficient, reinforcing those sticky customer relationships in a digitally enabled world. It's about future-proofing their competitive advantages, making them even more formidable. #8. Valuation analysis investment thesis.
Okay, we've covered their business, their strategy, their challenges, their leadership. Now let's put it all together. How is Spirax Group valued by the market, and what's the overall investment thesis that emerges from this deep dive?
Right, the bottom line. And what's truly fascinating here is how the market's perception of a high-quality company can temporarily shift due to short-term headwinds, potentially creating an interesting opportunity for long-term thinkers like you, our listener. It's often in these periods of temporary weakness, when the market gets caught up in the immediate noise, that true value can sometimes be found.
Okay, let's look at their historical valuation perspective. For much of the past decade, Spirax has traded at a substantial premium to both the broader industrial sector and its direct peers.
Commanded a high price tag.
This premium was consistently justified by its superior growth profile, consistently high margins, defensive recurring revenue, and strong returns on capital. All those competitive advantages we've discussed.
The market recognized the quality.
Their historical PE ratio, price-to-earnings ratio, for example, it soared to impressive 53.7 times at the end of 2021 and consistently traded in a 35 to 50 times range from 2020 to 2022.
Very high multiples, almost tech-like.
Similarly, their historical EBITDA multiple peaked at 34.5 times in 2021, averaging approximately 28 times from 2020-2021. These are very high multiples for an industrial company, clearly reflecting the market's deep appreciation for its quality and strong fundamentals.
Absolutely premium valuation.
However, the challenges of 2023, particularly that biopharm destocking, triggered a sharp derating in the stock. By year-end 2024, the P/E ratio had compressed to approximately 24-28 times, and the EBITDA multiple had fallen to the 14-17 times range.
Quite a significant pullback in valuation.
What's important to note is that these multiples are significantly closer to the stock's five-year lows than its highs, suggesting that a great deal of negative news and short-term headwinds have already been priced into the stock.
The market appears to be valuing Spirax based heavily on its recent cyclically depressed earnings, potentially underappreciating the long-term value creation potential unlocked by its strategic pivot into electrification. This often happens. Short-term pain can obscure long-term gain. The market might be overly focused on the biopharm slowdown or the initial investment costs and integration challenges of ETS, overlooking the expanded addressable market and the powerful secular tailwinds that the group is now positioned to capture for decades to come. This creates a potential disconnect between the current price and the future potential.
Right. Despite this compression, Spirax continues to trade at a premium to many of its UK-listed peers like IMI, Rotork, Weir Group, Smith Group. This premium, the analysis suggests, is arguably justified by its superior financial characteristics.
Still seen as higher quality than many peers.
The current valuation is more in line with other high-quality global industrial peers rather than being at the extreme premium it once commanded. The acquisitions of Volcanic and Durex have significantly expanded the group's total addressable market by over 6.6 billion pounds, tapping into that high-growth, multi-decade trend of industrial decarbonization.
Big market expansion.
As the ETS segment continues to grow and deliver on its margin improvement targets, there is significant potential for a re-rating of the stock's valuation multiple as the market recognizes this enhanced long-term growth profile.
Potential for the multiple to expand again. You know, the fact that investors still accord Spirax a higher valuation than some competitors, even after a significant derating, speaks volumes.
Yeah.
It's a testament to the market's underlying recognition of their fundamentally stronger business model and durable competitive advantages. The 85% recurring revenue, the unmatched direct sales force, the long dividend history, these are not easily replicated. Even with short-term headwinds, these inherent qualities provide a floor for the valuation and suggest a robust long-term outlook that many peers simply cannot match. It's a testament to the enduring quality of the business and why it often commands that premium.
Okay, let's bring it all together. The analysis concludes with a BUY recommendation for Spirax Group PLC for long-term investors.
Okay, the final verdict.
The bull case, the key pillars for a BUY are strong. First, a wide and durable moat. Rooted in its unparalleled direct sales force, deep technical expertise, and trusted brand. This moat is exceptionally strong and difficult to replicate, allowing for sustained pricing power and high returns.
Pillar one, the moat.
Second, a resilient business model with approximately 85% of revenue tied to non-discretionary MRO spending, generating highly predictable recurring cash flows. This underpins that extraordinary 56-year track record of uninterrupted dividend growth, making it a reliable income generator.
Pillar two, resilience and dividends.
Third, Spirax is a secular growth champion, uniquely positioned as a primary beneficiary of the multi-decade industrial decarbonization and electrification trend. Its ETS business is significantly expanding its total addressable market and positioning it as a critical partner for customers on their journey to net zero.
Pillar three, aligned with huge trends.
And fourth, despite recent challenges, it has an attractive valuation. recent cyclical headwinds, now showing signs of abating, have caused the stock's premium valuation to compress to a much more reasonable level, presenting a compelling opportunity to acquire a high-quality, market-leading enterprise at a discount to its historical valuation.
Pillar 4. Valuation looks interesting now.
Of course, there's always a bear case, the primary risks. First, despite the correction, it still trades at a premium valuation, making it vulnerable if growth or margin targets are missed.
Risk 1. Still not cheap.
Second, there are still cyclical headwinds. The biopharm recovery, for instance, may be slower or a little pronounced than expected, causing further pressure.
Risk 2. Cycles could bite again.
And third, there's always execution risk. The successful integration of those large ETS acquisitions and the navigation of the new leadership's strategic vision are paramount, and any missteps could impact performance.
Risk 3. Can the new team deliver?
Finally, let's consider the key catalysts to watch for. On the positive side, a faster-than-expected recovery in biopharm, clear evidence of margin expansion in ETS, major Target Zero contract wins, and a broad recovery in global industrial production.
Things that could drive the stock up.
On the negative side, a renewed global industrial recession, signs of integration issues or margin pressure in ETS, or increased competitive intensity in industrial electrification could all dampen enthusiasm.
Things that could hold it back.
Yeah.
You know, while near-term risks related to the economic cycle and strategy execution certainly exist, the long-term strengths and opportunities, particularly their alignment with powerful secular tailwinds like decarbonization and digitalization, seem to significantly outweigh them. It makes it a truly compelling long-term play.
Yeah.
This is a company with a proven track record, a resilient business model, and a clear strategic vision for the future, which is exactly what discerning long-term investors seek, especially when the market temporarily undervalues it due to short-term noise. Hashtag tag outro.
Wow. What a deep dive into Spirax Group PLC. From its humble beginnings as a simple steam trap importer back in the late 1800s to its current leadership in industrial electrification and precision fluid management, it truly is a fascinating example of an industrial compounder.
A real journey.
We've explored its three distinct businesses, that incredible 85% recurring revenue model that provides such stability, its truly unique and 10 times larger direct sales force, and how it's strategically navigating global megatrends like decarbonization and digitalization while maintaining that remarkable 56-year dividend growth track record. It's almost like the Swiss Army knife of industrial companies.
I like that.
You think you know what it does, but then you find it has three other incredibly precise and dispensable tools you didn't even realize you needed.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how this company, despite its long history, isn't resting on its laurels.
Not at all. It's actively evolving, making bold strategic pivots through acquisitions, and leveraging its foundational strengths to address the most critical industrial challenges of our time. It's a testament to the power of continuous adaptation, disciplined execution, and a clear long-term vision that allows them to remain a relevant and leading player in the constantly changing industrial landscape. They're not just surviving, they're thriving by constantly reinventing themselves.
So what does this all mean for you, our listener? Well, beyond the specific investment insights, understanding a company like Spirax gives us a powerful window into the silent foundational work that underpins our modern industrial world.
The hidden plumbing.
Exactly. It highlights how efficiency, sustainability, and precise engineering are not just buzzwords, but tangible drivers of value and progress, even the most complex global industries. It's a reminder that truly impactful companies often operate behind the scenes, making the world run better, safer, and more sustainably, often in ways we don't even see. And for a final provocative thought, consider this. Spirax's commitment to engineering a more efficient, safer, and more sustainable world is its stated purpose. How might a company's deep, long-standing expertise in one area, like industrial steam, uniquely position it to lead the charge in new transformative areas like electric thermal solutions, even when facing significant cyclical headwinds and major leadership transitions?
Interesting question.
What does that say about the true value of deep specialized knowledge and the courage to evolve in a rapidly changing global economy? It's something to ponder as you observe other industries and the companies driving their evolution.